The woman did not want to give a bad name to her tribe, not knowing that even centuries later, people would read her story, and whenever these ayahs are recited, in its tafsir is a story. Humility was written for her, even for centuries to come. People worry about what people will say, while the punishments of this world are much lighter, and the punishment of the hereafter is very difficult. And after this, a woman has no relation with the husband, and they cannot live together. While when we learn about the woman of Ghamidiya tribe, whenever her name is mentioned, her sincere repentance is mentioned, and no ill feelings come for her. Now we will look at these ayahs. What we see is that one of the two is a liar. Both are not saying the truth. So what happens to the one who lies? Their punishment is with Allah, as neither faced the punishment in the world. Both were saved from it. Man can say, I saw with my own eyes, as was said, and the woman saved herself from the punishment of the world. But one who has firm belief in the punishment of the hereafter, and then knows there is a day of recompense, will not say that she was saved. No, rather she set herself up for the bigger punishment. Ibn Umar was asked about those who do li'an. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, about those who do li'an, then now your account is upon Allah. One of you is lying, and there is no relation with the woman. This is mentioned in a Bukhari hadith. So there is no longer any relation of a man with that woman. They cannot live together. One is a liar, and only Allah knows who is that liar. Now looking at the ayahs, وَالَّذِينَ, those who, يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ, they accuse their spouses or wives. As Hilal had asked the Prophet ﷺ, if a man says that he saw his wife doing such, you will punish him for slandering, and if he stays quiet, how can he remain quiet from shame? If it is any other woman, a person can stay quiet, but if it's one's own wife, how can a man remain quiet? And if he kills her due to this in anger, then the man will have to pay qisas and be killed in punishment. So what should they do? Then these ayahs were revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way out. Those men, this is only for men. If a woman sees her husband involved in a relation, he will most probably admit it. And there is no question of the child being ascribed to anyone else in the case of a man. So those men who accuse their wives, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ, and they do not have any witnesses, إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ, except their own self. He himself is the only eyewitness. فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ, then the testimony will be for one of them, meaning the husband. أَرْبَعُ شُهَادَةٍ بِاللَّهِ, four testimonies by Allah. This means not by four people, but the man will swear and make a testimony himself four times. Since he was unable to bring four witnesses, he is saying it four times himself. This will happen in a court in presence of other people, not within homes or with members of a tribe or a family unit to decide themselves. This is not how it happens. So he will testify four times himself, with swearing by Allah upon the fact that إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, indeed he is surely from the truthful. He will say this four times, swearing by Allah that he is truthful in his saying that. It is not mentioned that he can kill his wife and that will be justified. No, rather, if he kills her, then the punishment of Qisas is upon him. There is no escape. وَالْخَامِسَةُ And the fifth testimony. But before he takes the fifth testimony, the Imam, as we learn from the Ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ admonished the man. So likewise, the Imam or the judge will admonish them against lying and reminding them the punishment of this world is much easier than the punishment of the hereafter. Then, if he stops, then upon him is the punishment of Qazaf, or 80 lashes, because there are not four witnesses with him. But if he is prepared to swear the fifth time, he will say, وَالْخَامِسَةُ أَنَّ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ That the curse of Allah is upon him. إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ If he is from the liars. If he has falsely accused, then the curse of Allah is upon him. And this he says for himself. If the woman remains quiet and doesn't say anything, then the woman would be stoned to death. But if she says that this is a false accusation, وَيَدْرَأُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَابُ The punishment can be averted from her. But under what condition? Here, يَدْرَأُ means getting removed. أَن تَشْهَدَ أَرْبَعَ شَهَادَةٍ بِاللَّهِ That she testifies four testimonies swearing by Allah. She swears four times, taking the name of Allah. For what? إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ That indeed he is surely from the liars. Who? The husband. Saying by swearing by Allah that he is lying. After she swears four times, then the judge or the imam should also admonish her, telling her to fear Allah. Punishment of this world is lighter than the punishment of the hereafter. So the judge should advise and admonish her. If she stops and admits, then the punishment of rajm or stoning becomes valid. But if she still says and swears the fifth time, وَالْخَامِسَةَ أَنَّ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا That the wrath of Allah is upon her. إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ Here she does not curse, but invokes the wrath of Allah upon herself. Why is the harsher word ascribed for her? Because if she is swearing falsely, then she will face the big consequences. She saved herself from stoning, while the man, by taking the oath, only saved himself from qazaf, or the lashing. If she swears, that means she lied upon a big sin. Now when they both take the fifth testimony, in hadith it is mentioned that they can never be joined again. When do Le'an? No living together ever. They will be separated and the relation will end. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ And if it was not a bounty of Allah upon you, وَرَحْمَتُهُ And His mercy. This is the grace of Allah that He gave these laws and He saved us from a big difficulty. If it were not a bounty or grace and mercy of Allah, what would it be then? It doesn't say after that. There is no answer. As when we warn a child from their misbehavior and say that if you don't stop, then. So if Allah didn't give this law, which is by His grace and mercy, we would face a lot of problems. Killings would occur. And this happens in honor killings because these laws are not implemented and they are just in the Quran. People dispute and argue about them as they are just part of the Quran and written but not implemented. And because of this, there is much corruption spread in the society. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ حَكِيمٌ And indeed, Allah is the acceptor of repentance and all-wise. So if anyone commits any sin, the door of repentance is always open. And there is great wisdom in these commands. If these commands were not given, people would not have known what to do. As today, people do whatever they want to do according to their own will, and take whatever steps to deal with this matter. There are also no rules or laws. Without proper testimonies, accusations are made. Without testimonies, killings are committed, and punishments are carried out by whoever wants to. So this is how Allah is At-Tawwab, Ar-Rahim. Next, what we will learn about is the story of slander upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Today we will briefly look at the story, and the ayahs will be covered next week, inshallah. At 6th Hijri, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina for Ghazwa Bani Mustalik. Upon this journey, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had accompanied the Prophet from his other wives. She was traveling separately upon a howda, a seat for riding upon the back of an elephant or a camel, with a canopy for privacy. And upon their return, the caravan stopped in a place. So Aisha got down her howda and went for her use of toilet. Upon return, her necklace fell somewhere. So in her search, it took much time that the time for the caravan to depart approached. Those who were appointed to carry the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's howda from the ground to the place it upon the camel, picked it up and tied it upon the camel. Since she was very light and skinny, so her weight was not felt as she was lifted upon her howda. Therefore, the carriers didn't feel that the howda was empty and that she was not in it. So when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha returned to the place where the caravan was there before the caravan had left, she thought that if she walked after the caravan, she would lose her way if the darkness of night came. She felt it was better that she remained there. And when people realized that she is missing, they would come back to look for her and would find her there. So she just sat there. While sitting, she fell asleep on the ground. In those days, during journeys, a person would follow a some distance behind the caravan in case someone became ill and remained behind, or if anyone needed help, or if anything from the caravan was left behind, would be found. So this person would pick it up. So upon this journey, this responsibility was placed upon Safwan bin Mu'attal. So during the day, he reached the place where the caravan had stopped. From some distance away, he saw someone sleeping. When he came near, he found Ummahat al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. During her sleep, her face became uncovered, and since Safwan had seen her prior to the commands of veil, he recognized her. The command of the veil was revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab before the revelation of Surah An-Nur. In it is the command for veil and covering of the face. Therefore, she used to cover her face. So when she narrated this story, she mentions that during her sleep, her face became exposed. So before the command of veil, he had seen her. So he recognized her. So when Safwan saw her, he said in a laudable voice, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha heard this, she woke up. Then Safwan sat his camel in front of her, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mounted it quietly. He took hold of the camel and quietly kept walking. When they caught up with the caravan, the chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he showed his inner filth and said words accusing Aisha of slander. The rest of the munafiq, or the hypocrites, also joined in his baseless accusations. Because of these baseless accusations, many sincere Muslims became involved in this. Among them was Hassan bin Thabit, who was a poet. Then ayahs declaring the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha were revealed, testifying to her purity. This story in history of Islam is called al-ifk, the slander. This is when someone falsely accuses someone. In our next lesson, insha'Allah, we will look at the pertaining ayahs. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم 80 جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا وأولئك هم الفاسقون إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين ويدرأ عنها العذاب أن تشهد 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين والخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم